Now we're getting into lesson two. We need to understand that when we got born again, every single believer, they underwent a complete inner transformation. But now, you now understand that we don't sense it with our physical senses. We cannot trust how we feel or how we think or what we see in the natural. How many of you remember the day you got born again? How many of you had just incredible joy for a while? It should still. I'm not saying it has to stop, but how many of you know a lot of Christians, they have an experience that it stops? You know why? Because they stopped looking at Jesus without realizing it and started looking at self and how poorly or how greatly they thought they were doing. Up until that point, they were just so excited that Jesus loves me. They were just so excited that Jesus saved someone like me. And little over time, the devil gets us to put our eyes on our performance. Let me just say this, and I'm not trying to discount anything here, but you know what? I never, ever, ever was condemned about my prayer life until I heard I wasn't praying enough. How many understand what I'm saying? I enjoyed my prayer time with God. I enjoyed just spending time with Him. But then I found out I wasn't tarrying quite long enough. And I wasn't doing it quite right. I wasn't saying all of the phrases that I was supposed to say. I wasn't first going in with adoration. And then this. And then forgiveness. And then this. And I was like, man, I'm praying all wrong. That destroyed my prayer life. So you have to get it back by understanding that is, I'm not talking against prayer. I'm talking, we need a fellowship with Him. Let me just say, if you're looking at the clock while you're praying with yourself. I'm sorry to be blunt, but that's the truth. Because God is not looking at the clock. He loves you. Now, does God want to spend lots of time? Yes, but not according to the clock. He wants us. And if He has us, He'll have our time as well. It'll be fruitful because we're looking to Him and we're allowing Him to bear fruit through us. I don't know if you've discovered this, but trying to bear fruit for God is very miserable. Anyone ever got in the trap of trying to bear fruit for God? Let me tell you, if you're in the ministry, it can really become miserable because you're looking at everything and you're looking at the people you're ministering to and you're saying, what's wrong with you? Because you're putting the pressure on yourself that you're failing because you're trying to bear fruit through people. It doesn't work like that. We are not supposed to bear fruit for God. Jesus said, apart from me, you can do nothing. But if you abide in me, I will bear fruit through you. If you look at it in context. And you will be very fruitful. Why? Because He is the one who bears fruit through us. Amen. Let's turn over to 2 Corinthians chapter 5. 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 17 and 18. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 17 and 18 says, therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he's a new creation. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. Verse 18. Now all things are of God, who has reconciled us to Himself through Jesus Christ and has given us the ministry of reconciliation. I'm going to focus on verse 17. Let's read that one again. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, how many of you are in Christ? Raise your hand. So this is talking about you. Say, this is talking about me. Notice it says, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. Notice, he is a new creation. Not he will be a new creation. Not he might be a new creation. He is, say, I am a new creation. That means when you go to the Greek, that creation there is talking about something is brand new. It never existed before. You were not an old barn that God just put a fresh coat of paint on. I don't understand what I'm saying. But how many of us feel like that? We're the old, same old car with just a brand new paint job. How many of you know if you have a 40-year-old car and it's not a classic and you put a brand new paint job on it, it's the 40-year-old car with just a brand new paint job. You can't fool anybody. I mean, how many of you know if you put a brand new paint job on a gremlin, no one's impressed? Or a Pacer. Man, see that? Brand new car, baby. No, it ain't. But if you were a Pacer and you came to Christ, you're no longer a Pacer. You're a brand new creation that never existed before. You're now a Ferrari. Brand new. Never been driven. How many of you know you can never make a Ferrari out of a Pacer? You don't even have the same parts. So that's what we have to see ourselves as. We're not the same old, crusty old whatever. We're not the burnt toast with the burnt part scraped off. How many know it's still burnt toast? I mean, you don't taste the burnt, but it's still. Now, if you like your toast that way, no problem. I'm just saying, if you just scrape the burnt off, it didn't change it. It's actually still the same piece of bread. So notice, if you're in Christ, you're a brand new, you're a new creation. Old things have passed away. Not will pass away one day, may pass away one day. Old things have passed away. That old things, as we're going to see, is your old man, your old nature. I remember the Bible says we have a new man. We're not going to talk about that today. We're going to get into that more in a couple weeks, I believe. So old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. Now, if you live your life basing your experience based on what you can sense with your body and your flesh and your soul, you will look at that verse and say, it can't be saying what it's actually saying. I still have some of the same old thoughts. I still have some of the same old wounds. I still have the same old, sometimes, temptations. We say it can't be true. But what are we going to believe? We're going to believe God's word, or we're going to believe our experience? See, if we want to change our experience, we believe God's word first, and that will change the experience. Amen. So your body and your soul, we need to understand this. If the Bible says that all things have become new, old things have passed away, we need to find out where has this taken place. Okay? So your body and your soul did not change when you were born again. That's easy to see. When I got born again, I looked in the mirror, I still looked the same. There was one thing different about me. It was my eyes. There was life there where there used to be nothing there. I mean, you understand what I'm saying? I used to run restaurants. And I had a boss who was a believer. And I grew up in church and all that stuff, but I don't need to go into a long story, but I wasn't interested really. Went off to university, graduated, started succeeding, working in the restaurant industry, was being promoted. I was a district manager, and I was over more than one restaurant. And I used to have to drive between my restaurants. And I remember sometimes when I'm driving, sometimes, I don't usually do it anymore, but I used to, every now and then, when I'm looking in the rearview mirror, I would look at myself in my eyes. You know, you can only see your eyes if you do that. And I remember before, when I would look in my eyes, I would just see dullness. I don't know how to explain it. But after I gave my life to Jesus, I remember I'm driving between the different restaurants, and I look in the rearview mirror, and I notice my eyes are shining. That's the only thing I can explain. And I said, what in the world is this? And I raised my head to where I could see my mouth, and I noticed I was smiling. I didn't even notice I was smiling. I looked the same as far as my physical. I still had the same hair, same height, same weight. The only thing that difference was the inside. How many know the eyes are the windows to the soul? Amen. So life had happened. Amen. But if you weigh 200 pounds before you got saved, you'll weigh 200 pounds after you get saved. If you had dark hair before you got saved, you'll have dark hair after you get saved. If you're white before you got saved, you'll be white. If you're black, you'll be black after you get saved. So that didn't all pass away and something else became new, right? We still have some of the same old thoughts. So we need to understand where the transformation takes place. The transformation, we need to understand, of your body and your soul will not be completed until you go to be with Jesus. Let's turn to Romans chapter 8 and verse 23. Romans 8, 23, we're going to see from Scripture that the Bible teaches us where all things have become new. And it teaches us where all things have not become new. How many know the Bible interprets itself if you read it long enough? Look at Romans 8, 23. It says, not only that, but we also who have the first fruits of the Spirit. I want you to notice, you have the first fruits of the Spirit. Not something you will have. It is something that you already have. You have right now. If you're born again, you possess the first fruits of the Spirit. Do you see that? Now, first fruits mean there's more coming. You've already got the first fruits. Ephesians chapter 1, verse 13 says, "You." And we're not turning there, but when you received the Spirit, you were sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise, and who was your guarantee. And then it goes on to talk about your body. You will get a glorified body. If you already have the Spirit of God and you received the first fruits of the Spirit, you're going to receive a resurrected body. How many of you know that's what it's talking about? And so in here in verse 23, Romans 8, 23, it says, not only that, but we also who have the first fruits of the Spirit, even we ourselves groan within ourselves, eagerly waiting for the adoption, the redemption of our bodies. So here we see our bodies have not yet been redeemed. I think we all can understand that. If you go to McDonald's and you buy one of those meals, it's been a long time. I don't even know if they do this anymore. But you remember the cups? You'd pull the thing off the cup and you'd see if you want a Big Mac or a fry or whatever it was. And so if you pull the thing off, you say, wow, I got a free Big Mac. But you didn't get the Big Mac until you turned in the little ticket. Then they gave you the Big Mac. So it was yours, but it wasn't yet in your possession until you turned in the ticket. The same way we're already a new creation, but for our bodies, we've received like the ticket. And on that day, when we turn in the ticket, we'll get our brand new body. How many of you understand what I'm saying? We don't yet have our brand new body. How many of you understand that? We're still getting older. You know, some people are confused on that topic, but we're getting older. I got born again at 24 years old. I'm now 45. I've gotten older. Amen. Let's turn to Philippians chapter 3. Philippians chapter 3. We're going to look at one more verse about the body here. Philippians chapter 3, verse 20. It says, for our citizenship is in heaven, from which we also eagerly wait for the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, who will transform our lowly body, that it may be conformed to his glorious body, according to the working by which he's able even to subdue all things to himself. So here we see that we have not yet received that glorious body, but we will one day receive that glorious body. So all things have not become new yet in our body. But yet 2 Corinthians 5:17 says all things have become new. So it's not talking about our body, so we can eliminate body. Can you follow the logic here? Let's go to soul. Since we're spirit, soul, and body, let's go to the soul. Let's go to James chapter 1, verse 21, says, therefore, lay aside all filthiness and overflow of wickedness, and receive with meekness the implanted word, which is able to save your souls. He's not talking about getting born again here. He's writing to believers. How many of you know in Romans 12:2, it says, be transformed by the renewing of your mind. That's what this is talking about, but just in another way of phrasing it. How many of you can see that? So our souls are still our souls still need to be saved. In other words, renewed. How many know every time that we see the life of God flowing in our heart, a mind renewal, even if we didn't realize that's what took place, a mind renewal preceded it. When someone is sick, and I've seen this happen before, and they think that God did this to me to teach me something, and they heard someone teach something differently from me or from someone else, and they say, you know what? That sounds a whole lot better. I'm going to be healed. And they get healed. That was mind renewal, even though it happened like that. How many of you understand what I'm saying? It doesn't take years to renew your mind in every area. It all depends on you, whether or not it takes you that long to actually start believing it. How many of you understand what I'm saying? But when you actually start believing it, you start seeing the fruit of it. How many of you know Jesus bears fruit quick when we're in agreement with him? How many of you know when you got born again, the moment you said yes, it happened like that. It's not something you grew into. Turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 13. Of course, we already quoted Romans 12:2, be transformed by the renewing of your mind. So we see that our minds are not yet totally new. So there goes our soul. All things have not become new in our soul. So let's go to 1 Corinthians chapter 13. Let's look at verse 9. It says, for we know in part and we prophesy in part. But when that which is perfect has come, then that which is in part will be done away. Now, when you read this in context, when that which is perfect has come is talking about Jesus. It's not talking about the Bible. It's talking about Jesus. Has Jesus come back yet? No. And we all can agree to that, because if it was talking about the Bible, then we would no longer know in part, but we still know in part. We still have to learn, don't we? Let's go down to verse 12. For now we see in a mirror dimly. Talking about our minds. How many of you know we don't see everything clearly and perfectly? We're all in the process of getting our souls saved and renewed and enlightened, having our eyes enlightened because we receive a spirit of wisdom and revelation. So we're in the process of getting light. I mean, enlightened means to bring light to something. But until that happens, we're seeing dimly in that area. I mean, you can see that. So for now, we see in a mirror dimly, but then face to face. Talking about when we're standing with Jesus, right? We just saw that in Philippians chapter 3, right? And in 1 John chapter 3, verse 2 says, beloved, now we are children of God, and has not yet been revealed what we shall be, talking about in your perfected body, But we know that when he is revealed, remember, face to face, we shall be like him. Remember Philippians, we shall be transformed into his glorious body, conformed into his glorious body. That's talking about the body here, folks. Not talking about your spirit. For we shall see him as he is. So back to 1 Corinthians 13. But then face to face, now I know in part, but then I shall know just as I am known. That's when our soul and our body will be totally made brand new and perfect and incorruptible. Amen. So 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 17 is talking about our spirit has been made new. Not our soul, not our body. Our body and our soul. Our body, we have the promise of it becoming new. But our soul, right now, we're in the process of renewing our mind, but will never become perfectly all there. I wish we could, but we're not. Doesn't seem like we're ever going to get there until we see him face to face. Amen? So, I always like to remind myself, the Apostle Paul in 1 Corinthians chapter 8 and verse 2 says, none of us knows anything yet as we ought to know. That was the Apostle Paul said that. Praise God. So don't be so hard on yourself when you're in the process. I don't know about you, but I'd like to be fixed on right now. I'd like there to be no areas of my life that I'm not enlightened in. But that's just not true. I'm not going to sit here and lie to you. I still have areas I need to renew my mind and believe what God says. But as Andrew says, I may not have arrived, but I've left. Amen. So we need to understand that the change occurred in your born-again spirit. How many of you can see this? Your spirit totally changed at salvation. Let's go to Ephesians 4:24. We're not going to spend a lot of time here because we're going to pick this back up in a couple of weeks. But in Ephesians 4:24, it says, and that you put on the new man. Hello, new creation, new man. Now let me just say this. Paul could not say put something on if you didn't possess it. You are a new creation. You are a new man. Now this he's talking about putting it on in practical application to where people can see the new man. But he didn't say you don't have it. He said put it on. Can you see that? So here it says put on the new man which was created. Again, created. It's not something that's in the process. It was something that was created new. A new creation. Created according to God. Notice, God is the one who did this. How many of you believe God can make junk and something inferior? No. So the new man was created according to God, and notice the qualities of it, in true righteousness and holiness. Your spirit right now is truly righteous and holy. When you got born again, your spirit totally changed. You have to believe this. Does you no good if you don't believe this. So your spirit, when you came to Christ, was instantly and completely transformed. Everything you'll ever need in the Christian life is already present in its entirety in your spirit. Now, I don't know about that, Brother Sean. Let me ask you this question. Does Jesus live on the inside of you? If he lives on the inside of you, is he lacking in anything? So let me ask you this question. I like to ask this question when I get in front of a group of people. When Jesus came to live on the inside of you, how many of you know Galatians 4:6 says he sent forth the Spirit of his Son into your heart? And it's because of that Spirit that you cry out, Abba, Father. When Jesus came to live on the inside of you, did God become less when he came to live on the inside of you? Or did you become more when he came to live on the inside of you? Amen. Folks, I'm not saying you're God. I'm saying you are carrying God. Yes, we have to keep it in the right perspective. I'm not awesome. He is. And he now lives in me. And I'm not just human anymore. I now walk around everywhere I go. Even when I forget, he's with me. Because that time when I was in the store and I didn't even want to help that lady because I was in a bad mood, tired, just wanted to get under the covers and go to bed. God broke through that and said, will you let me touch her through you? Why? Because he was in me. Will you just put your jumper cables on that lady and let me do it? How many of you know it's not us? There's no pressure on us but to believe him. At this very moment, your born-again spirit is as perfect and complete as it'll ever be throughout all eternity. There's not a verse in the Bible that says one day your spirit will be changed like it says about your soul and like it says about your body. There's not a verse. Why? Because it's already been changed and God now lives there. How many of you know God had to create a place where he could live? And he can't live in something that's not perfect. See, when you start saying this, some people get nervous. Are you saying you're perfect? No, but I have the perfect one who now lives inside of me, and what he's done is perfect. And the rest of it is in process to line up with what he's done. So we have to always keep him first. Amen. How many of you know in Colossians chapter 2 and verse 10, it says, you are complete in him. You know what complete means? Anyone here speak English? Complete means complete. It means there's nothing else that can be added. Literally in the Greek, it is a word picture. Have you ever seen a glass of water when you pour water in a glass and you can't put one more drop in and it's wobbling? If you were to put one more drop, it'd spill. Until that point, it's not complete. That's the picture. There's nothing else that God can put in you than what he's already put in you. He put himself in there. Can he put anything greater than himself? I'm talking about looking to him, folks. You are complete in him who is the head of all principality and power. Amen. Your spirit right now, is as perfect, mature, and complete as Jesus himself because it is Jesus himself in you. Hello. I always like to put that in there because I've heard people say, your spirit is just as perfect and complete as Jesus. And I had kind of a trouble with that a little bit because I was thinking about me. Now, maybe you don't have that. So I like, because he's there. Now, oh yeah, of course. How many of you can see? Oh yeah. Yeah. Because of him. See, I need to always make sure I'm putting my eyes on him. Not because I'm prideful, because I'll limit him if I don't. I mean, you know what I'm saying? So in Galatians 4:6, he sent forth the Spirit of his Son into our hearts, crying, where we cried, Abba, Father. Romans 8:15, let's turn there real quickly. I love this verse. Romans 8:15 says, for you did not receive the spirit of bondage again to fear. Isn't that awesome? God does not use fear ever. The Bible says in 1 John 4:18, perfect love casts out fear. For he who fears has not been made perfect in love. You know what perfects you? Love. Because fear involves torment. God is not tormenting us. Fear is never of him. So Romans 8:15, for you did not receive the spirit of bondage again to fear. In other words, before you were born again, you had a bondage of fear. It was a spirit of bondage. It was fearful. I mean, you know, some Christians get right back into another element of fear. That is never God's plan. God didn't save you to terrorize you. God didn't save you to tear you down and tell you how awful you were. You were much worse before he got a hold of you. And he saved you anyway. He knew everything about you before he saved you, and he saved you anyway. He did not say, oh, wow, if I had known this about you, I'd have never married you, you know. I mean, in the natural realm, they can have those thoughts. Not me, of course. No, I don't have those thoughts. But how many know what I'm saying? God knew everything about us and said, yes. But Lord, I struggle here. I know. And if you'd ever get your mind renewed, you'd stop struggling. Just look to me. Look to me. You know, every area where we struggle is because we're handling it, whether we recognize it or not, in our own ability. We think, surely, if I could just stop doing this, then God would do. No, he's already done this. Run after him. The Bible says in 1 John chapter 3, verse 6, he who abides in him does not sin. So there's no sin problem in your life. There's an abiding problem. Listen to this. Oftentimes in the church, what we've heard, whether directly or indirectly, if you could just stop sinning, you'd be able to be qualified to abide. No wonder people can't stop sinning, because the Bible says, if you want to stop sinning, abide. How many of you know you can't sin with your eyes on Jesus? You have to take your eyes off. You have to say, wait. How many know what I'm saying? Amen.